Merry Christmas, everyone. This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from the new production studios designed by Audimute.com in Coldwater, Michigan. The lead stories are TikTok banned from Navy and Army mobile devices. Boeing CEO was delivered a Christmas present. He got the boot. Boy, the Grinch delivered there. The RIAA is awarded $1 billion from a lawsuit with Cox Communications. And General Motors wants to remove the steering wheel. I want to welcome you to episode 1413 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, December 23rd. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. And of course, you can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Hey, I want to give everyone a warm welcome. Thanks for being here. If you're watching live, make sure you check in and say hello in the chat. All you got to do is just leave a comment. That's all you have to do. It'd be greatly appreciated. Dan, welcome to the show. Thank you so much. And of course, welcome new listeners. And if you're just checking the show out for the very first time, all you have to do is to really to get connected with this show is go over to geeknewscentral.com. And when you're over on the website, it's real simple to get subscribed to the show, either via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Android, Stitcher, or even by email. Or you can use an RSS feed. And if you don't know how to subscribe to a podcast, we're going to get you the instructions on how to do so just by visiting the webpage and click for more subscribe options. That'll give you the instructions on how to get subscribed. While you're on the website, get signed up for the newsletter as well. The newsletter's contained all the content I'm going to talk about today. It'll have every link, every story, and that will be delivered to your inbox immediately following the show. Of course, all the same links and information is on geeknewscentral.com. So definitely use that as a resource, as well as my writers are putting out great content on an everyday basis. You can listen to the show on blueberry.com. Or you can listen on your smart home device by saying the keyword to launch that device and say, play the podcast Geek News Central. And really, that's as simple as it gets. There's ways to do it via Apple. There's ways to do it via Spotify. But you should have no trouble whatsoever just by saying the magic word to get the device's attention and say, play the podcast Geek News Central. Again, you can stay connected by joining our chat room on our Discord server. That link is in the show notes. Or geeknews.chat on our Mastodon server. Or on Slack. So there really is multiple ways of being subscribed to the show. It's simple and connected to the show. Really, it's your choice. Of course, you can always email me as well. You can email me at geeknews@gmail.com. I had to flip the screen here. Email me at geeknews@gmail.com or follow me on Twitter @geeknews. So you can check out all our partner shows. These are linked to geeknewscentral.com, the GNC Week in Review with Kirk Corliss. Him and I are heading off to CES in just a few days. The Gadget Professor, Mr. Don Bain, which will also be at CES. Our Pro Gear site being written by our team at Geek News Central. And, of course, the new media show with myself and Mr. Rob Greenlee. And then Podcast Legends, which is my own pod-faded podcast, but has some great interviews there. You can always pick up Ohana Gear at cafepress.com/Ohana Store. And, of course, this show is supported and sponsored by our great and trusted friends at GoDaddy. So, 'tis the season. If you have already blown off Christmas shopping, it's real simple. You just go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Once you're on the webpage, you click a hosting plan. Doesn't matter if it's a managed WordPress hosting or just regular hosting. Click on that. Buy the hosting account for $1 a month. Yes, for $1 a month for the first year. And then it's simple. You are going to get a free domain name with that. And again, all my codes can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, whether it be a 99-cent.com, whether it be 30% off new product purchases, whether it be a $1 a month economy hosting, a $1 a month WordPress, managed WordPress hosting. Again, for the first year, includes a free domain. It's the deal of a lifetime for website hosting, and you can get started today online. Of course, we have a free trial of GoDaddy Website Builder, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. And if you do not want to pick up a GoDaddy product or service, you're going to be hanging out with lots of cool cats during the holidays. You're going to be talking about all the cool stuff you're doing, and you're going to say, I know this guy. He does a podcast, and he's got a great sponsor, and he can save you money on domain names, on hosting accounts. Send them over. Send them over so that we can keep GoDaddy happy. And I really do need all your support and pick up a product or service. Definitely link to the page from your social media accounts, from Twitter, from Facebook. Link back. Help us remain an authoritative location for GoDaddy promo codes. And you should support us. Why? These promo codes keep this podcast online, our independent writing team employed. Again, you're supporting a small team of independent content creators, and you will support us in that effort. And we thank you for your support. Again, share those codes with your friends, subscribe to the podcast, and get all the latest tech news as well for utilization of those promo codes. And GoDaddy's helped tens of thousands of this show's listeners save thousands of dollars each month. So again, receive a significant savings using that 30% off discount code alone is fabulous. So definitely check all those out, geekingcentral.com/GoDaddy. Hey, want to say hello to Richard, hello to Dan, hello to Todd, hello to David. Those of you who have joined, thanks for joining the live show tonight. Definitely appreciate it. Thank you for being here. Got a lot of stuff to go through tonight. Just a couple of quick things to catch you up on what's been happening. Friday had Blueberry's team Christmas lunch, followed immediately by going to Star Wars. Did you guys see our post, our picture? Every one of the team members, except for two of us, had Star Wars shirts on. I did not. And basically, Angelo didn't order one big enough for me. That was a problem. But the rest of the team had, and I'll be honest with you, I don't wear T-shirts, except like when I'm crawling underneath cars and changing oil or doing, you know, stuff around the house. So I just don't. I have a lot of T-shirts. Matter of fact, I got enough T-shirts to last me another 20 years. But so anyway, I just don't buy Star Wars T-shirts. But anyway, that was what the team wore. Good movie, good ending. I won't spoil it. Then I drove back, got in here Friday early evening. Turned right around Saturday morning, was here in the studio for 2 or 3 hours before the show. Got a bunch of work done. Of course, we did the new media show. And then I had mentioned to my sister that I thought maybe I could do a little more Christmas shopping. I had a few things to go, and they found it a wise idea to take us to a mall. Well, actually, not an outlet mall, like 2 hours away. So we went to an outlet mall, and, you know, we were there like an hour and a half. I had my fill about that quick. Went to dinner, got back in here 9:30 on Saturday night. Sunday, lazy day, laundry and movies. Today's been a full work day, but slower on email. Been a little more quiet. And we're going through a hiring spree right now. So we've had some good luck finding some great people. So I'm very pleased we're going to be adding to the Blueberry base, the Blueberry team. So I'm going to be sending out some offer letters, and hopefully give someone a Merry Christmas here with a job. But anyway, lots going on, and I've been busy. So as a reminder for the show schedule, we will have a show on Thursday the 26th. There will be a show Monday the 30th, and there will be a show Thursday the 2nd. And then I leave for CES the morning of the 4th. There will be no show the week of January 6th because I will be in Vegas. So we will have CES content for you all week on the website. 50 hours of geek out content run by the F5 Live guys. I'm going to show up. I'm going to be talent. So definitely plan if you're going to have extra time on the week of January 6th, actually starting on the 7th, to watch our live coverage and a new guest every 10 minutes to interview, and plus intermix floor stuff. Then I get back on the 12th. I will be doing a show here on the 13th. I leave for Columbus then on the 14th. I'm there all week, the Thursday show of the 16th of January, and then back in the studio the week of Martin Luther King and on the 20th. And then, so from there, that's what we're looking like for a schedule. So pretty consistent here over the next month, minus the CES content. But, you know, we're going to be putting so much stuff up anyway. You're going to have your hands full if you want to watch live. So anyway, that's what's going on. I got a whole stack of stuff tonight. Kirk did a good job finding content. A little thin on the news today, but boy, there's a bunch of stuff that's worthy of a good discussion here, starting right off with TikTok. Oh my goodness. You know, TikTok is this just huge, huge video app. It's, you know, it has huge popularity globally. It was big in Asia before it was big in the United States. But the Army and Navy have basically said, hey, TikTok is a cybersecurity threat and has banned the popular short form video app from all military mobile devices. Now, here's a question I have. Generally, smartphone mobile devices that have been issued by Uncle Sam to, doesn't matter if they're a federal employee, doesn't matter if they're Army, Navy, Air Force, doesn't matter. Those phones are typically like super locked down anyway. They have a list of authorized app stuff that's banned. You can't get to certain sites. I mean, it is not a full functional mobile device. And personal devices are not being connected to the Army, Navy, intranet. That is absolutely unequivocally not allowed. So to me, they're saying they're banning this app. I'm like, has something changed? Is there now the ability for these folks to be able to really do this anyway? You know, so I'm a bit kind of like, okay, why did this announcement come out? Because if they're already banned, then why do you have to ban them? But maybe not. Now, the Navy didn't elaborate on its decision, but the Army followed right along and again announced national security concerns. There's another app we're going to talk about here a little bit later in the show called TalkTalk. Amazing that they're using that actual name, but we'll talk about that show or about that app a little bit later in the podcast tonight. Some stuff going on there that's even a much, much bigger deal, more importantly, the Grinch has come, and Boeing CEO has been pushed out amid the 737 MAX crisis. So Dennis Muilenburg is out, and Boeing chairman is taking over. And of course, he's only been with the company after a little more than a year after the two fatal crashes. And Boeing says Muilenburg's resigned in its press release, though it also says that the board of directors decided that change in leadership was necessary. No kidding. So Muilenburg will be replaced by David Calhoun, who currently serves as the chairman of Boeing's board of directors. Calhoun will also become the company's president and will retain his chairman post. There'll be a brief transition period while Calhoun exits his non-Boeing commitments, during which the company's chief financial officer, Greg Smith, will serve as interim CEO. Calhoun is currently the head of the private equity arm of a major financial firm, Blackstone, and spent nearly three decades at GE. So we'll see what's going to happen here, but loss of confidence, obviously, and he got the boot. Of course, they haven't got this thing fixed and back in the air yet, so shouldn't come as a surprise. So Todd Vick says in the chat room, say, hey, Todd, howdy. Hope you're doing well. I am doing well. Thank you very much. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. And another Christmas present was delivered. Cox Communications hit with $1 billion verdict over music piracy. This is a big, 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 big win. A jury in Virginia awarded some of the largest names in the music recording industry a whopping $1 billion in damage from Cox Communications, finding that the ISP did not act sufficiently to curb my music piracy on his platform. The verdict was a result of a three-week trial in federal court in Alexandria. Variety was first to report the jury found that Cox was liable for just 10,000 infringing recordings and compositions on its network and awarded the plaintiffs almost $100,000 per work. Cox said in a statement called the verdict unwarranted, unjust, and egregious, pointing out legal downloads can be had for a dollar, but the jury awarded 100,000 times that amount per item. He says, we don't condone infringement. We educate on it, and we do our best to help curb it, but we shouldn't be held responsible for bad actions of others. So this is basically comes from the failure of the six-strike system. And this is a potential hairbinger for other ISPs. The recording industry has filed similar suits against other ISPs this year, including a complaint against Charter Communications, one against RCN in New Jersey. Meanwhile, AT&T has become more aggressive about booting alleged music pirates from its network. The question really is, and let's kind of be like frank, why is anyone bootlegging music anymore when you can have all you can eat for like $6 a month? I don't get it. I really don't. But apparently there's a lot of people still out there doing it. So we'll see. I'm sure this is probably going to get appealed. And then, you know, a billion turns into a million or whatever it ends up being. But $1 billion. That's a big number. It really, really is. Again, if you're on watching live on Facebook or on YouTube, make sure you say hello tonight. Definitely appreciate it when you do. General Motors is pushing for a self-driving car minus a steering wheel. GM is in talks with NHTSA, the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration, about getting approval to evaluate such vehicles on public roads. Flying cars may still be the stuff of science fiction, but self-driving vehicles are much closer to reality. And of course, every automaker and supplier company these days is hard at work at this, pushing forward in the future. Reuters reported Friday that this Detroit-based firm, GM, is in talks with NHTSA, and they want to evaluate cars on the road without any human controls, including steering wheels. These would likely be highly modified versions of the Chevy Volt. Does that terrify you? It probably should, since similar systems in both road-going vehicles and aircraft, notably the Boeing 737, these automated systems, there's just no way at this point in the game that I am going to get in a vehicle that is a self-driving vehicle that has no steering wheel. You get on the highway in that vehicle? I don't know. You feel, what do you guys feel? You guys feel safe? You know, even if we get to the point where we have vehicles that are completely autonomous, I still want a steering wheel if I'm sitting in that car. Because what will go sideways will go sideways. I call it the seat of the pants thing. You know, having flown over 10,000 hours in P3s, you become attuned to what I call your butt as it was glued to a seat as you were sitting down and the aircraft did something. You felt it in your ass before you really registered in your ears. And when a different noise, a pitch change on a prop or something electronics change in the noise, there was a difference. You become attuned to that and you start looking around to see where the problem is. It would be the same way in a vehicle. You know, you're in a self-driving vehicle. Let's say there is no steering wheel. And all of a sudden, your butt registers something is amiss. You're sideways in the road, or you're heading towards an exit where you're not supposed to be going on an exit. You want to be able to reach up and turn that vehicle. You know, you want to get control. Now, in some cases, the car might be faster than you if the computer is really that good. But the complexity of having a vehicle being completely autonomous with no steering wheel unnerves me a little bit. And even NHTSA says this is much harder to do than what a lot of very optimistic advocates were thinking. Why do you need to remove the steering wheel? Understand that some rides have phased out the human backup driver. Okay. But in normal operation, day-to-day operation of these vehicles, unless they're a delivery vehicle, you and I are going to be sitting in these cars and we will want a way to take control. I just can't imagine. I will not buy a vehicle if there's not a steering wheel. It's not happening. And maybe in my kid's lifetime, that's all going to be good. And maybe the computers will be smarter than we are and get us to and from. But I don't think we are anywhere near that. If you're in California, boy, oh boy, and a few other states, come January, a landmark law is set to go into effect and possibly turn ride-hail drivers into employees. And this could upend the gig economy as well, because it's being said that if Uber and Lyft has to pay their employees by the hour, it turns into about an $800 million bill just for those two companies for one state in 1 year. Now, we understand these workers might be taken a little bit advantage of, and some are working longer hours for lower pay, and that's not right. But California's new AB 5 law could require these companies to reclassify their workers' employees. Other states like Washington, Oregon, New York, and New Jersey are looking at similar laws. And what this really is an ABC analysis. There's going to be certain things that they're going to have to be looked at. So number one, it's going to force these companies, or Lyft has, okay, now both Lyft and Uber say they're not going to reclassify their companies. But there is a three-step process that they have to look at on each one of these. And it's going to change their amount of hours they can work, and there's a whole bunch of other stuff that's going to go into. Now, I have a contract worker in California. He's completely autonomous. He's got his own company. I really fall underneath, because it's not just Uber and Lyft that is affected, but I was reading through this, and this ABC test, he still will be able to remain an independent contractor based upon the law in California, how it's written up. And but boy, oh boy, it could change everything in a big, big way. Now, there's a benefit to being an employee. You get paid sick time. You get vacation. You get overtime pay, you get health insurance, all that stuff is, employees are good with. But, and employees won't have a fluctuation in pay. They're going to know what they're going to get paid, and, you know, certain things about their vehicles will change. So, we'll see where this goes. But this has been a big fight in California. If you live in California, you know, your beloved Uber and Lyft could be changing. There's an article on The Intercept, and it talks about ICE. ICE is the immigration folks, immigration and custom enforcement officials have been exposed on how they've used social media and information gleaned for profit data brokers to track down and arrest immigrants in Southern California. In the emails, which were disclosed in federal court filings, officials discussed the relationship status of the person, noting that he was brokenhearted, according to Facebook posts, and confirmed his identity through pictures posted at his father's birthday party. Apparently, through these social media posting, they ultimately arrested the person after he checked into Home Depot on Facebook. And basically, they used this information through data brokers as a surveillance dragnet that tracked down immigrants who are subject to possible deportation. In this case, ICE used Thomson Reuters' controversial Clear database, part of a growing industry of commercial data brokers that contract with government agencies, essentially circumventing barriers that might prevent the government from collecting certain types of information that they would need with a warrant, which is interesting. So using public available data. So anyway, this goes into detail on how they are using social media to track down people that maybe have stayed too long or have been, you know, convicted of something and are subject now to deportation. So interesting write up here, and how they use the internets and the data that was basically being publicly shared to track people down. So I'm sure after this is out, people that are subject to overstaying or have been here a long time illegally will probably be significantly concerned about how social media is being used to capture them. This, again, public data, nothing that's private that in which they need a warrant for. So, or a, not a warrant, but a search warrant. Yeah. So anyway, interesting write up here by The Intercept. A little bit of space news. One of the astronauts up there celebrated Hanukkah from space, and she showed off some very festive socks from the cubicle that looks down upon Earth. The socks had the Star of David on it, and she got quite a few responses to this. So I took the photo again in the Cupola Observatory module on the space station and tweeted that out. So very, very cool. Jessica Meyer was the astronaut that celebrated Hanukkah on the International Space Station. Of course, we didn't cover this on the show, but we know the Boeing launch went good. Well, didn't quite go good enough because it didn't get the spacecraft to a high enough altitude because of some lack of burn or lack of fuel. And they actually had to abort and have the capsule re-enter. So it never made it to the International Space Station. So, you got to have the fuel. You don't get the fuel to get to where you're going to go. In space, it's a little more critical. Now, I think SpaceX had one of those issues where they kind of came up short on fuel. Actually, they came up short on fuel on a re-entry. So they burned a little bit more going to orbit. They did get to orbit, but they weren't able to do to recover the first stage. So yeah, so Boeing a little more trouble going to the International Space Station. So the Christmas presents did not make it. Very, very interesting. Now, what did I watch? I watched something recently. Oh, I watched the documentary on, oh man, it was the astronaut who had a twin brother who was here. The one went to space and the other one was on the ground and they did simultaneous comparisons. Great, great series by Time. I think there was 10 really short episodes under like 20 minutes apiece. Highly recommend that for your holiday watching. But anyway, I think I watched it on Netflix. It was really, really good. I had not seen it before. I don't know how long it's been out. But really kind of digs in and you see some cool stuff that you don't see every day on the International Space Station. Here's one thing from space that I really didn't think about. He said, you know, after being in space for 365 days, he said, the thing I really enjoyed the most was spitting my toothpaste out. He said, I'd spent a year having to swallow my toothpaste. Now think about that, folks. You wake up in the morning, your mouth is kind of, yeah, right? we've all, you know, we all get it, right? You're like, don't, you know, you don't want to breathe on no one. You know, it's our mouths are like this pit of hell. We go into the bathroom and we, you know, we get the toothpaste out and, you know, scrub away that nastiness and, you know, brush our tongues. And but imagine being in space and having just done that and then have to swallow the toothpaste. Makes my stomach churn just thinking about it. Because, you know, what do we most of us do? We follow up with some Listerine or something, you know, and you get that nice fresh breath, at least until you have your first cup of coffee. So I kind of just did this, oh, you got to swallow your toothpaste. So you just wonder, you know, how much toothpaste they actually use when they brush their teeth, you know, because I don't think it's any different space or you know, being on planet Earth and brushing your teeth. That stuff is designed to go down the drain, not down your throat. So, yeah, I just thought it was a little bit, you know, eye-opening. So, yeah, swallow your toothpaste when you're in space. Gross. I think maybe I just want my teeth pulled and have dentures. But then again, how do you clean your dentures? You probably can't, you know. So, anyway. Hey, what to expect from season 2 of Lost in Space? Well, there's an official trailer out. I'll have that up in the show notes for you to check it out. Has anybody watched the first full series of Lost in Space? I think I got to like episode 3 and quit. China is trying again. China is prepping for comeback launch of its heavy lift Long March 5 rocket this coming Friday. And this is after they blew one up in 2017. And so anyway, we'll see what happens here with this next launch. And this is China's main vehicle that they're going to be doing a lot of launches from, go to Mars with a satellite and also to the moon. So we'll see what the Chinese do here if they get this thing off the ground and they don't blow it up. Verizon adds 3 more 5G cities. Total count surpasses goal of 30 in 2019. For some reason, this seemed to be big news all over the place. So certain areas of Cleveland and Columbus, Ohio, and Hampton Roads, Virginia gets 5G. Of course, you have to have 1 of 7 phones that will support it. So, but anyway, if you live in one of those areas, good luck. Now, I'm going to be looking at because I'm down in Columbus all the time, I'm going to be looking at the areas and see if the area that we are in on the edge of Westerville and the city of Columbus is in one of those zones. It would be really, really cool. Not that I really, you know, I have good connectivity. You know what I found is I'm at the point now where I don't need my MiFi anymore. And as a matter of fact, I got to go to the Verizon store and deal with them to get it shut off and save myself $80 a month that I'm spending on that stupid thing. Because everywhere I'm going now, I'm pretty much got Wi-Fi and I don't have to dongle. And if I do, I can do it off my phone. So pretty pleased to be able to get rid of that bill. But anyway, 5G and 3 more cities. A judge has blocked New York City's law limiting Uber drivers cruising for new passengers. So this is good. You know, late last summer, the city's taxi and limousine passed rules requiring drivers reduce so-called deadheading, or the amount of time spent without passengers in the car, from 41% to 31% in Manhattan below the 96th Street. The city said it was trying to reduce traffic congestion, which has risen in the years since ride-hailing took off. Uber sued, overturned the law, and it was. In his ruling, Judge Lyle E. Frank took issue with the city's definition of cruising. He said there was no rational basis to calculate the time drivers spend looking for new passengers as part of the definition, and there was scant rationale for the city's choice of 31% as a targeting for deadheading. But they did not do this for taxi drivers, but they are still limiting the number of people that can drive in Manhattan. There is no new vehicle licenses being issued until August of 2020. So, of course, Mayor Bill de Blasio said he wants to prevent Uber and Lyft from taking advantage of hardworking taxi drivers and their quote-unquote medallions. So, boy, the taxi and limousine thing again in another city is just ruling everything. Hey, electric truck startup Rivian, R-I-V-I-A-N, has raised $1.3 billion more to challenge Tesla. They've raised almost $3 billion in 2019 as they get ready to start production. The Rivivan trucks, the R1T, starts at $69,000 before the $7,500 federal tax credit for American customers. Rivian says its trucks can accelerate from 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. The entry-level truck has a 105-kilowatt battery, offer 230 miles, while the most expensive model is a 180-kilowatt battery for 400 miles or 640 kilometers of range. Again, yes, Mark and Scott Kelly, Andrew, thank you for, hey, you're up late. Thank you for weighing in there. Yeah, Mark and Scott Kelly were the two astronauts. One retired, and of course, the other one's in at the International Space Station. But going back to this truck, someone the other day that was on was listening to the show said, "Todd, brilliant idea. If I have a 2-car parking spot in my driveway, to make one of those a charging station and charge for charging." So someone that's listening to the show is going to go out and buy the fast charger, not the super fast charger, but the fast charger. You get those for about $300, probably installed about $1,000, and reach out to his neighbors and have a charging station. I think you're going to have to keep that on the down low a little bit from your housing association. But, you know, the housing association should be happy because it'd be one less car that's parked on the street. It'd actually be in a driveway. I don't think they care which driveway they park in. And if you're charging $100 or $150 a month to someone to get charged, you know, you're going to make some money. Because I know a lot of people that are in condos and so forth that are scratching their heads. How are they going to charge their vehicle with all these lack of chargers? So anyway. More trucks with charging requirements. Twitter is warning of account hijacking flaw on Android app, urges immediate update. We talked about this on the last show. So again, anyone running an older version of the Twitter app on Android needs to consider their update immediately. Their flaw can allow an attacker to access their account, see protected data, and even post content as if they were the person owning the account. The vulnerability is patched, but it won't matter unless you've got automatic updates turned on. And sometimes on Android, some people don't have that done. Interesting story coming out of T-Mobile. An internal T-Mobile document, and I don't know how they got this, show that the company was considering a Comcast merger back in 2015. It's titled Defining a Winning Position for the U.S. Business Model. Report was assembled at the request of T-Mobile's board member Thorsten Langen in December 2015, meant to give an overview of the company's market position in advance of a workshop among senior members of leadership. There's always a candid behind-the-scenes look at the company's strategic outlook, often cutting a sharp contrast to the company's rebellious uncarrier image. The report, which is labeled as confidential throughout, suggests T-Mobile owner Dutch Telecom had heavily bet on the U.S. wireless market, where the company saw less regulation, higher average revenue per customer than in Europe. Isn't that interesting? Higher than average revenue per customer. You know, even us at Blueberry, I know what my revenue average is per customer. Our goal is always to try to get that up. It's easier said than done. But, so anyway, it's kind of interesting. It shows T-Mobile's still a business. They may be rebels in disguise, but, you know, they use sound business models, but I sure love how they act as rebels at times. Oh, you're wrapping Christmas presents. I have a few that needs to be wrapped. I've decided this year, tape on the box and a bow. No wrapping paper for me. My presents will be easy to see and probably partially easy to guess what they are. So good for you, Andrew, unwrapping Christmas presents. A MasterCard acquires security assessment startup Risk Recon for an undisclosed amount of money. It's become increasingly important for financial service companies like MasterCard to help customers navigate cybersecurity, and Risk Recon will give customers an objective score of a company's risk profile and probably be a decision factor in how much they get charged on their processing fee. Here is something that is very, very interesting. Now, you know, we don't talk about politics too much on this show, but we all know that the politicians are all data mining data. They're using all kinds of data to determine if you're a viable person to target in any kind of media that you consume as far as open to a message for someone to vote for, right? Or proposition or whatever it is. We're all targets in this game, this political game. If you're a hardcore Republican or if you're a hardcore Democrat, you probably will not be targeted too much. You probably will not, if it shows that you've donated to the RNC or the DNC or to the president or whoever it is, they're going to know that, well, let's not waste any money on this person. But if you're an independent and you have spent a little money here, a little money there, you post a little social media stuff here, a little social media stuff there, they're going to say, well, that individual is very much viable for our message. So we can target that person and spend a lot of money to try to get their vote. So Mike Bloomberg is plowing millions of dollars into a secret tech firm he founded months ago as he seeks the White House. This company is called Hawkfish, with former executives from Facebook and Foursquare. Soon after Hawkfish incorporated in the spring, it started working on races in Virginia, Kentucky, where Democrats scored key victories in November. And again, presidential candidate Mike Bloomberg is pouring tens of millions of dollars from his vast personal fortune into his campaign, a piece of it going to, again, this unknown digital business called Hawkfish. Hawkfish will be the primary digital agency and technology service provider for the presidential campaign. Julie Wood, a Bloomberg campaign spokesperson, told CNBC. She added, the firm is now providing digital ad services, including content creation, ad placement, and analytics for their campaign. It will also help Democrat races across the country in future election cycles. It's all about the data. It's all about the data and how they're going to target you. I just cannot warn everyone more here, because it's all a game to these folks. They are doing everything in their power to target you, to sway your vote. You may think, I'm not a target. But if you're a little bit on the edge, either right or left, it doesn't matter. Both the right, both the left are going to target you to try to get you to vote for them. And they're putting huge money into this process. So this is why I tell everyone, be careful. Be careful at the news stuff that's being targeted at you. Be careful about the ads that are being targeted at you, especially on the political side. There is an agenda to sway you. So please, please use your best personal judgment. A YouTuber is making a flying robot vacuum cleaner. And I have to love what these guys did. They basically had a multi-level floor. So it works as a normal, vacuum cleaner running around. And then when it hits an edge where it needs to go higher, it kicks in the rotors and flies it up into the next part of the building. He bought a cheap Amazon vacuum for less than $100 and made a fun YouTube video out of it. It's pretty cool. I'll let you guys definitely check it out within the show notes tonight, all right? Twitter is blocking animated PNGs to keep trolls from using them to trigger seizures. You'll still be able to use GIFs when you feel you need to share your favorite screen caps, but Twitter will no longer allow animated PNG files after trolls hijacked the Epilepsy Foundation's handle and hashtags last month to send potentially seizure-inducing images to epileptic and photosensitive individuals. The company said it recently discovered a bug that had allowed people to add multiple animated images to a tweet and bypass Twitter's autoplay protections using the file format. That said, Twitter says it isn't aware that anyone used APNG to try and trigger seizures. It just wants to avoid the possibility. So this is very naughty, and good on Twitter for being active here. All right, so in January, going to be a bunch of stuff coming to Netflix, Amazon, Prime Video, Hulu, and HBO. So there's a list of stuff that's coming. So be aware of that. Link in the show notes. And also Google's Holiday Doodle gives the search engine a cheerful glow. So they've done a nice little job there. So, of course, Winter Solace was yesterday or day before. And so now it's, you know, that means, what does it mean? Winter's halfway over. Or the cold, we're tipping back the other way. So it can tip plenty faster, in my opinion here. But anyway, the worst is yet to come. Twitter's removed thousands of the Saudi state-backed accounts. Nearly 6,000 accounts were banned as being part of an alleged state-backed information operation originating in Saudi Arabia. It accused accounts of violating its platform manipulation policies. Twitter said they were a part of a larger network of more than 88,000 accounts engaging in spammy behavior on a wide range of topics. So continue to whack-a-mole with these. You use Chrome? Do you use the Chrome Android browser? Well, there's the computer world has 21 time-saving tips. And you can also become a mobile browsing pro with these advanced tips for Google Chrome Android browser. Again, these are all stuff for the mobile, not for just desktop, okay? So a link of that will be up in the show notes for 21 tips you can use to save time. Also, if you didn't know how to connect your iPhone or iPad to your TV, as a matter of fact, my son-in-law was doing this when I was back in Hawaii. And I was like, why are you using your phone to play videos? And he's just like, well, I can. And he was. So he's playing movies from his iPhone to his TV. So, you know, it just goes to show that I wouldn't have necessarily done that. I would have, you know, he was loading some movie off Netflix. I'm like, why didn't you just use the built-in Netflix on the TV? And he's like, oh, this is easier. And so away we went. Basic HDMI adapters to wireless streaming can be done. So I'll have the link up in the show notes on that. Okay, over in Macworld, Apple 2019 year in review. Wow, what a crazy year for Apple. Lots of operating system snags with iOS 13. Of course, that happened. Of course, we had macOS Catalina, lots of features. We had a lackluster iPad update being promised for that to come this spring. The AirPod Pro impresses some. My mom was actually asking about if she should buy the AirPod. And I told her, yeah, get the regular AirPod, not the Pro. We talked about the, you know, challenges of not washing these things, just like any other wireless headset, and like the ability of the self-charger. And, you know, she's wore the regular AirBuds before from Apple, so I don't think there's going to be any issue with her. But she's going to pick up an AirPod, not the Pro version, though. And, of course, this year there was a barely new Apple Watch, so not a big, huge jump. I didn't upgrade. I'm still on the last year's model. And, of course, some business changes as well. So the iPhone is supposedly, you know, got cheaper and better, quote unquote. And, of course, the Mac Pro is back. And, wow, what a price range. I think if you max that out, someone said adding every option was like $54,000. I didn't want to buy a luxury vehicle. everything has been like, everything that's on the MacBook Pros, the iMacs is almost just as good as the Mac Pros from several years ago. There's really no reason to make this big jump unless you are like editing videos every day in 4K. Sling TV is getting more expensive, raises the cheapest subscription price to 30 days. The cheap days of Sling TV are over. So Sling Blue and Sling Orange are both going to $30. Says, if you subscribe to both bundles of channels, it now costs $45, which is a few bucks shy of competitors like YouTube TV. And that's what I'm using right now. I'm using YouTube TV, folks. Very happy with that so far. It gives me what I need at a very limited price. Pixel 4 has gotten improved face unlock and other surprise updates. So if you're a Pixel user, that's out and about. Also, Samsung is going to show off the S10 Lite and Note 10 Lite at CES 2020. So I'm definitely going to get over and see what Samsung has to offer. That means a trek over to the main part of LVCC, but I should have time to be able to do that. All right, I'm going to talk about another app that's out there called TokTok. T-O-T-O-K. TalkTalk, not TikTok, TalkTalk. Google and Apple have both removed the alleged UAE spy app. They've been removed from the store. Not to be confused by China's TikTok, TikTok markets itself as an easy and secure way to chat by video and text. The New York Times reported allegation that the WhatsApp lookalike is a spy tool for the UAE government. TikTok has told users it will be back in the app stores soon. In a blog post, it wrote that it's temporarily unavailable on the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store because of a technical issue. Citing American officials as sources, the New York Times reported TikTok gives UAE spies access to citizens' conversations, movements, and other personal information like photos. Google removed the app last Thursday and Apple pulled it the following day. However, TikTok users who already have the app on their iPhone can carry on using it. TikTok is only several months old, but is downloaded by users in the Middle East, Europe, Asia, Africa, North America, according to the New York Times. So get rid of that thing. But they've got pretty good evidence here. It was being very, very naughty. Hey, I was going to make a reminder to you that my Geek News Central team continues to write articles on a daily basis, putting out stuff. We appreciate when you come on and comment and link back to these particular articles in your social media post. You know, so we aren't TechCrunch. We are not Gizmodo, but we do our best to come up with original reporting, talking about stuff. So I appreciate your ongoing support for the Geek News Central writing team and the content that's being put over there. It's at significant expense each year to maintain our writing team. And again, it's all about the support model. And if you are inclined to support the show, just consider this. The writing budget on a monthly basis is $600 to $700 for Geek News Central. That's my outlay to have all the content that's being put up on the website. So if you find it of value, and if you find the show of value and everything that we're doing when we go to CES and putting on this live content, you're going to start seeing, for those of you that get the newsletter, you're going to start seeing me encourage you to become insiders are doing one-time donations. And I did get a couple of one-time donations last show. So I'm going to be pushing this more and hoping you folks will step up and contribute to the show. Again, it starts at $2 a month. $2 a month will get you in as an insider to support the podcast. Again, it goes up from there, $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25. Of course, you can make a one-time donation as well. So definitely appreciate all of you in at the $25 level as much as we appreciate those of you at the $2 level. So again, if we had everyone that listened to this show at the $2 level, I could do some really, 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 really incredible stuff. And we just don't do that. But I would hope that you would consider supporting the show. Again, you can do a one-time donation, $24 for a year, you know. You're spending more than this at Starbucks every day. You know, many of you are going in and getting a coffee 2-3 times a week. That's $5, $6, $7. $2 is all I'm asking for a month. Again, geeknewscentral.com/insider. Are we going to get out of here? The end of the show is near. And let me see if I have any comments that have come in. And let's see here. Nope. So we're no new comments. So I guess we're doing a fantastic job. Or I'm not being controversial enough. So I'm looking for some new reads, some new science fiction reads. What have you read lately that has blown you away? I asked for your movies, what you're watching. I've added a bunch of movies from the suggestions. But what science fiction, space, theater, what type of stuff are you reading right now that is like you're really enthralled? So I'm looking for some new books. I've had some dead starts to some books recently. I've gotten, 20, 30, 40, 50 pages in and just couldn't continue. So really looking to step up the game. Or if there's a series you read before that you absolutely loved, I love multi-book series. It takes up some time and, gets me to a nice mental break. So if you've got any great series that you've read that you just absolutely love, maybe I haven't read it yet, with the tens of thousands of books that are out there, drop me a note. And, of course, so we all have our favorite authors, so sometimes that will cross paths. But let me know. Let me know what you're reading out there. And, you know, again, kind of in that science fiction frame, I'm open to other stuff. If you found something that was really, really good as well, alternate universe type stuff is fun. But, of course, I think part of the United States is living in an alternate universe. But stole that from the new No Agenda show. But anyway, thanks for going to get out of here. Everyone, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of our family. There's a new video, and someone made a comment to it at the beginning of the show today that they loved the walkthrough of the studio. So I did a walkthrough of kind of how everything is a couple months in. I took you into some parts of the studio you haven't seen before. I give you some different views. It's about 7 or 8 minutes long. Definitely check it out and let me know what you think. And we're not done tweaking. Got a few more tweaks to make, especially right in here. Just need some time to think about it and do it. A new boom arm is coming. I'm hoping that's going to help a little bit in some of the angles to be able to have some different angles here. But that's it. That's all we're going to do today. Geeknews@gmail.com. Everyone, please have a Merry Christmas. Enjoy your families. Thank you for being part of the show here. Be back with you day after Christmas with another podcast. So the continued, hey, tell all your family members, subscribe to this show. You got some nerds that listen to the show, right? Some geeks, some people who want to listen to some news. Spread the word about the show. Let's get 5,000 new listeners in here. If each and every one of you told somebody and then only like a percentage of them said, yeah, let's check it out, we would grow the show that way too. So share the show with your friends, family members, people that you know. Have a Merry Christmas. We'll see you next time. Everyone take care. Be safe out there. Bye-bye.